All right, well, we are in the book of Acts, and on this day of celebration, one of the drawbacks from going through a book of the Bible the way that we do is that you come to themes that are incongruent with what you're doing that day. So our theme for today in the message is pain and hardship and persecution. I don't know if this is like a prophetic message or something for this next year, but we are celebrating our birthday and celebrating a lot of good things. And we're just talking about this theme of pain and hardship. And maybe it could be said that one of the reasons for pain and hardship is that, yes, there's time to celebrate the good times and perspective on which to really appreciate the good times. But we are coming to a chapter, Acts chapter 8, that is an inflection point in this entire story that Luke tells of the early church. The church has began. The church has exploded in growth and seen a tremendous amount of success all around the area of Judea. And we are about to be introduced to a pivotal character, and that character is Saul, whose name is eventually changed to Paul. Only we're introduced to him as an enemy of the church, as an enemy of Christ, and we'll see that in the text this morning. But also it's an inflection point because up until this time, all the work of the gospel and the church that has grown to thousands of people is about to move beyond just Jerusalem. It's about to move just beyond the Jewish people. It's about to expand into the rest of the populated world, and it's going to eventually spread throughout every known part of the world. And so this is that point at which that happens. And one of the things that's important for us to understand is as we talk about the pain and the hardship that the disciples go through, and it's described in just a short section of scripture here, we have to recognize that if it wasn't for this persecution, if it wasn't for this pain and this hardship, if it wasn't for a guy like Saul who was persecuting the church and then flipped, we would never have heard the gospel. Right? It never would have happened. God used this providentially, divinely, to bring about his purposes, and it presents a conundrum for us. It presents something for us to really think about, to put into perspective our own trials, our own pain, our own hardship, and understand that God can even take something as difficult as what it is that you've gone through or what you're going through, and he can turn it around for his good. Sometimes he uses it in very detailed ways. Sometimes it's in spite of what has happened to you, but God heals it and makes it something that he can use for the good. There's all sorts of different ways to interact with this text, but we find that through pain, through hardship, through persecution, God does something divine, something that only he can do. And so just a short section of scripture in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And we just have studied the life of Stephen. And when we come to this text, we find after Stephen is stoned to death, literally, stoned with stones, Saul is there, and it says this of Saul. And Saul approved of his execution. And that's how chapter 8 begins. And so Stephen has just been stoned, and it says, and Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, which is something that is very interesting to note. Because what we find is that Saul, Paul and Barnabas and some of these other guys begin to take on they become the center of attention. They become the key to the story, and the disciples not so much. And it's an interesting thing to take note of, and we'll talk about why that may have been in a moment. But verse 2, devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Let's say a quick word of prayer over our passage this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word. God, once again, we come to it and we just say, God, speak from your word. Speak through the power of your spirit. These are just words on the page, unless your spirit comes and brings them to life. And so would you move in our hearts and move in our minds, draw out of this what you would desire each and every one of us to draw out of it. Speak to us in ways that are unique, in ways that we would know, hey, this is my Father speaking. This is God speaking to me. And I just pray that we would be profoundly impacted today as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's a difficult chapter in Acts because of what I talked about here at the beginning. The pain and the hardship that these people are going through. And what makes it difficult is that God, maybe we shouldn't say he's behind it, but God is allowing it to happen in the least in order to serve his purposes. It's something that he desires to happen, and perhaps it's because of a disobedience of the church. Perhaps it's just the only thing that needed to happen in order to get people to move and do the things that he required of them to do. But I know for me, when I experience pain and hardship, and for many of you, there are all sorts of questions that are associated with it. Like, what is the purpose of this? You know, why me? Why now? Why this particular thing and not something else? And I'll be honest with you, I feel ill-equipped this morning to talk about pain and hardship because as I look around this room, I know that there are many people who have experienced a great deal more of it than I have. First of all, I'm younger than many of you, and so in many ways, you have experienced more of life. And those who have experienced more of life have experienced more of pain and hardship because it's inevitable along the journey of life. But some of you, you've been through unimaginable pain. You've lost children. You've lost people who are close to you. You've gone through incredible illness and sickness. Some of you have gone through cancer diagnosis and other illnesses that are life-threatening. And you've been through abuse. You've been through emotional abuse and physical abuse. Some of you, if you were to tell your story, it's far more painful and difficult than my own. And yet, and here's the truth of the matter, pain and hardship are no respecter of persons. They come to us all at different seasons and at different times. And if we live long enough, we will experience it. Each and every one of us in this room will at some point die. And so we all will experience the pain and the hardship this life brings along with it. But God oftentimes is using those things to shape us and to mold us and to bring us to his purposes and his plans. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in detail. I wanted to start off with a story, and just to embarrass my daughter, it's a story about her this morning. She recently had an accident. We were all in the house. It was her birthday. It was her birthday party, and it was this wonderful day, and she was excited because there were all these gifts in the living room that she was about to open. And she was so excited, she ran out to the car to get one extra gift that was there, came running back into the house, and tripped on the front steps, and we heard this thud. And we were like, Addie? Addie? And there was no response. And so we walked out, and there's just blood everywhere spilling onto the front porch. And, you know, she's holding her head, and when she lifted her hand to show what had happened, it was like, oh God, put that hand over it again, because it was so gnarly. I mean, it was just a gaping hole in her forehead, and my first response with it was, what is going to happen with my beautiful daughter's face? Like, is it Frankenstein? I mean, what's going to happen here? And so, I mean, it's just this huge wound, and I was like, how are they ever going to fix that? And then, secondly, was, okay, what happened to her skull? You know, because you could see her skull like through this wound. It was just so gaping wide open. And so, you know, what happens, we spring into action. We get a towel. I don't even remember everything that happened. We rush her to the hospital. I'm running red lights. You know, it's late at night. We get to the hospital, the emergency room. I'm pleading with the lady at the front desk. My daughter has a hole in her head. Can you fix it? Get us in now, you know, and we get in, and of course the doctor is very calm and collected and explains what they need to do, and they had to do a CAT scan. Unfortunately, there was no major concussion, and there was no major problems with the skull, no cracked skull. It was just, in the end, a giant wound that needed to be stitched, and thank you, Jesus, it was stitched very well, and she looks good. So, all that being said, it was just a few weeks ago, and as I was working through that particular hardship, I guess we could say, that accident that was very stressful, there was a flood of emotions and some different experiences that I went through. I'm going to navigate this message from those experiences as I have interacted with this passage and recognize that in what happened to the disciples, they had very similar experiences. They had very similar emotional responses and things that were going on in this passage that are common to us all when we experience hardship, when we experience pain. First of all, a peaceful and a comfortable night became a night where I had to spring into action, right? Where I had to grab my daughter, put the cloth on her head, and my wife was right alongside me, usher her to the hospital in the family van that became a taxi, you know, emergency taxi. So it was one of those nights where you're springing into action, everything was peaceful, and all of a sudden we are on, you know, go, 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 right? And so it forced us to action. It was a panic, but it forced us to action. And I was in a panic. I was totally fearful. Everything was outside of my control. And so there was this panic and there was this fear that came over me in the midst of that terrible moment. And then there was a flood of emotions that hit me. Emotions that hit me, and I realized how desperately I wanted my daughter to be okay. How much I loved her. How much I just wanted to preserve her life or do whatever I can. This fun-loving, beautiful, wonderful girl, I wanted her to be okay. And all of those emotions were deep and intense inside of me in that moment. And as I interact with this text, interact with it, I recognize some similarities in what the disciples are going through, what this early church is going through, and I think what we all go through in the midst of pain and hardship, and some of the things that God might be at work in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our hardship. And the first thing is just simply this, that God, oftentimes through pain and hardship, uncomforts our comfort. He uncomforts our comfort. God said to, Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended, go to Jerusalem, go to Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Up until this time in Acts, and I don't know if it was because the disciples were hard of hearing or they just understand the urgency of that particular message, but they are in Jerusalem. They're in Judea, but they haven't spread beyond that, and it's easy to see why, because things are going really well. Everything is a success. There's no problems. God is clearly working. Everything's hunky-dory. There's no issues, and so let's just keep on doing what we're doing and doing it where we're doing it. But God is constantly on the move. He's stretching us. He's expanding us. He's moving us to what is next. I, for one, am a very nostalgic person, and I hate this part. I hate this. I would love to just stay where I'm at and be comfortable and stay safe and enjoy all the luxuries of the moment that I'm in. I hate it when it's time to transition and it's time to move. But God is constantly in the business of getting us on the move. He uncomforts our comfort in order to get us to where we need to be. And whether it's the calling of Abraham to move from his ancestral home to the land that God would show him, or whether it's the Israelites who move from slavery in Egypt, something that they felt was comfortable, at least something they knew. It certainly wasn't comfortable. They were in slavery, but they preferred it to wandering in the wilderness because they wanted to go back. But God was moving them to the promised land. It's even seen in Jesus and his disciples going from town to town, and Jesus wouldn't stay in one place. The message had to go where it needed to go. And finally, we come to this church in Acts, and God had given them this command. This is not just for the Jews. This is not to stay in Jerusalem or even Judea and Samaria. This is to go out to the uttermost parts of the world, proclaim this message. They weren't doing that on their own. They weren't going. It even says in this passage, the disciples stayed in Jerusalem. And God had to bring something to uncomfort their comfort, or he had to allow something to uncomfort their comfort in order to get them to move. And it happens to us all the time. If you're trying to interpret or understand, why, God, are you allowing this into my life? Why now? Why me? What's going on here? Perhaps an answer to that question is God has something new for you. God has something more for you. God wants to lead you and direct you in a new place, in a new direction. And pain and hardship is oftentimes a place or a space where our ears are open, where we're paying attention, where we're asking those questions. And God wants to speak in those moments. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said that pain is God's megaphone. You know, we might not hear the soft whisper of God's voice. We might not hear him even declaring something that he wants us to do. But when he takes that megaphone of pain and he puts it right on our ear and turns it on full blast, it gets our attention, right? Pain has that effect on our lives. It oftentimes perks our attention. It gets us to pay attention. And we recognize God might be leading and directing me in a new place, in a new direction for his purposes. Oftentimes pain and hardship comes into our lives to uncomfort our comfort. Have we become comfortable? Have we become complacent? Have we stayed in the same place even though God has told us to move? Sometimes God is speaking to us through our pain and our hardship and is leading us to something new. Secondly, I would say this. Sometimes God is speaking through pain and hardship about our fears and our need for control. So there's fear and control issues that I think all of us have to deal with and confront in many different seasons of life. In order for us to trust God, in order for us to go where he tells us to go and do what he tells us to do, we have to deal with the very real fear and loss of control that goes along with being submitted to God and doing the things that he has called us to do and taking action on the things that he's called us to take action on. Because it takes faith. Because it takes trust, oftentimes, to step out and do what God has called you to do. Oftentimes, it's bigger than what you are able to accomplish. It's more difficult than you are willing to take on risk in your life. And God is constantly prodding us to trust him more, to put away our fears, to recognize that none of us are really in control, and to give our control over to him, to trust him and to find peace, that he is the one who is going to walk with us, that he is the one who is going to care for us, he is one who is going to provide for us in the midst of all these seasons of life. I think here in the 21st century, we've built up the illusion of control. Maybe one could say that we are in a virtual reality world of control here in the 21st century. We've made a lot of improvements. Things have improved in incredible ways. Life expectancy rates have gone sky high. And yet, in the midst of that, there is no guarantee that you and I are going to live a long, healthy life. We know that. Many lives are cut short. It happens every day. We've added to our lives many modern comforts, many pleasures, all shipped to our door within 2 days, you know, if you're an Amazon Prime member. But these things, they seem to have a reverse effect on our happiness because we are more unhappy than we've ever been. And if you would deduce, you know, from use of anti-anxiety and depression medication, we've got lots of issues and emotional problems and psychological problems and things that are going wrong, even in the midst of all these pleasures, even in the midst of all these things that we seem to have under control. So we live in a generation that suffers from an illusion of control. And so when pain and hardship find themselves on our doorstep, we don't know how to cope with it. We oftentimes ask questions like, well, why is this happening to me? You know, I mean, why me? I thought I was supposed to be immune from these kinds of things. These are the kinds of things that should happen in other parts of the world, but not to me, not here, not in the United States of America, not in the wonderful city of Seattle. And there's this tremendous amount of fear that is associated with losing, with the illusion of control. Here's the impulsive Christian response to that problem. Well, God is in control. You know, we should always recognize that when we're under the illusion we are in control, that God is in control. And so oftentimes you'll hear Christians kind of respond with that pat in that pat kind of response, you know, well, God's in control. You know, it's up to him. We're just submitted to God. And I think that's a good first step, but I think it really oversimplifies the process. Lately, I've been listening to country music, and just had to confess that for a moment. I like it on road trips. I don't know why. It just kind of rolls along with the car. So one of the things, believe it or not, and this is even harder to say, one of the things I like about country music is all the cliches. There's just all these cliches. It's just really easy to listen to, all these funny little stories in the songs. And there's one song in particular that I've been listening to that I think is very funny. And it's about these two guys that are in the bar, they're having a conversation. They're summing up life, and life comes down to God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. You know, and yeah, so God is great, beer is good, people are crazy. So this is a popular country song, all these cliches. You know, usually it's about the bar, it's about my truck, it's about, you know, America and barbecue, and, you know, it's just easy stuff. So, but in country songs, you often hear this, you know, well, God is great, you know, or God is in control, or these kind of cliches. And so I like the simplicity of it, and yet at the same time, just saying God is in control doesn't solve it. Like, having the faith to believe that God is in control isn't really enough, right? Because there's also the question that we'd add to that, well, is God good, right? I mean, if God's in control, can I trust him, right? I mean, do I know, like, what his intentions are towards me? There's a whole set of questions beyond God is in control. Because if God is in control, but I have no idea what that means, right, then it's not a very healing or helpful phrase, right? We have to dive into that a little bit deeper. And here's what I love about our God. And here's what I love about the scriptures, because it teaches me this about our God. Our God is willing to listen to us while we ask questions, while we express doubts, while we express frustrations, while we probe deeper into why and what is happening here, and I don't understand. He is so willing to walk with us through those moments. This is one of the reasons why I love the Psalms. The Psalms are written primarily by King David, who was a guy who just had a bead on what it meant to be in relationship with God, what it meant to walk with God. And he never left a simplistic answer like God is in control without probing and understanding what was beyond that. David oftentimes expressed himself in emotional ways. You know, my tears are my food, and God, why? And God, what? And what are you doing in this situation? I feel as though you've abandoned me, you've rejected me, you've left me. And he's constantly expressing his frustration, his pain, his anguish, these questions that he has of God? Why now? Why me? Why this? He's throwing those doubts, throwing those fears on God, and God is with him, and God is listening, and God is sympathetic. The reason I know this is because often within the Psalms, near the end of the Psalm, there is some sort of amendment to the tone of the song. Usually it's David saying, but even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You know, even if I go through this pain and this hardship, I know that you are good. And I know that you bring peace to my soul. And David is just expressing these emotions that he is feeling as the presence of God enters into his pain, enters into his confusion and his frustration, and brings him peace. And if we take this journey of fear and control to its conclusion, here is what we discover. If we're willing to journey the way that a guy like David did, not just saying, well, God's in control, I'm not, and so I guess I'll just do whatever he says, but no, God, what's going on here? Can I trust you? What's happening in the midst of this? Why do I feel the fear that I feel? And all these things, if we are willing to take that journey to its completion, here's what we will discover. And my final point is this, that how deep the Father's love for us. This is what we will discover. This is where we will land. How deep the Father's love is for us. through trials, through pain, and through hardship, we will come to understand Psalm 23, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me, because he has walked this road. Jesus Christ has walked this road. He lived as a man. He knew what it was like to experience pain. He knew what it was like to be betrayed, to be falsely accused, to be rejected, to be abandoned, to be abused. He knows, because he has been there, because he has walked that road. I love this passage. I didn't put it up here on the screen, but 1 John 1:18, where John writes and says, "Perfect love drives out fear." Perfect love drives out fear. And when we experience the fear and the confusion of not being in control and going through the hardships and the pain that we go through, on the other side of that, an experience of God's love will drive that out as we learn to trust him, as we learn to understand that he is good. And the more we go through pain and hardship, the more seasoned and veteran and calloused we become, we will discover God's love, and we will be firm in God's love for us. I don't think I've ever been into a hospital room, and I've been to many as a pastor, and I'm young, but I've been doing this for a long, long time. And the more hospital rooms that I go to, the more this theory really firms up in my mind. But man, when people are going through struggles, when I go to hospital rooms and somebody is dealing with a life-threatening injury or an illness or something serious is going on, something that requires me to come as a pastor and pray over them, it is amazing. I don't think I've ever been to a hospital room where somebody has said, "Well, I guess God's abandoned me. Well, I guess God's rejected me. Or look what's happened. God clearly has it out for me." Right? That has never been the attitude. Every time I go, all that I hear is, even in the midst of this, God is faithful. Even though we are going through this, I trust that God is good and he has a purpose, and his protection and his provision over us is still intact. I've constantly heard testimonies of the faithfulness of God. And that's a testimony to many of you in this room, because I've gone to visit many of you in this room in the hospital. And those are the stories I hear. Those are the words I hear, that God is good even in this. And it's a beautiful thing that even in the midst of pain, we can sense his presence. We can know his goodness. And I don't doubt that God can bring something good out of the most painful and difficult circumstances in my life, because I have heard that testimony from many people in that hospital bed, in that crisis situation, where they have said, "God is good. God is faithful. I believe that he can do what he says he can do. He's going to provide. He's going to protect. He is still good, even in the midst of this." I came across this quote this week, and I think it really captures the essence of this point of what it means to experience God's love. C.S. Lewis, he said this: "When pain is to be borne, a little courage helps more than much knowledge, a little human sympathy more than much courage, and a little tincture of the love of God more than all." I think that is so, so true. When we are going through pain, when we are going through hardship, when we are suffering in our soul, we might have courage and walk through that valley. We might have people around us who could sympathize with us. But until we hear the voice of God speaking to us, until we are flooded with the emotion of a sense of God's presence and his love, and that is the point where we reach a fortitude of the soul, a strength in the midst of crisis and pain that just says, "You can do this. You can walk through this. I'm going to be with you." And nothing like the presence of God and a sense of his love and his grace and his goodness can bring healing and bring life even in the midst of darkness. I'm going to invite our band to come back if they would.